The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Yesterday, we looked at the top 12 in PPR in the consensus rankings. That would be the combination of Heath, Dave, and Jamie's rankings. Today, we're looking at 13 through 24, so your round two picks if you're just looking at our rankings on CBSSports.com. And did Mark Andrews make the cut? How many quarterbacks are in the mix? We're going to find out these things right now. I'm Adam Azer. I got Heath Cummings and Chris Towers here. And I'm going to start out with quick questions for you. No pleasantries today. Maybe at some point pleasantries, but not right now. First question, Heath. We have three quarterbacks in our top 24. They are the last three in the consensus top 24. Mahomes at 22. Josh Allen at 23. Jalen Hurts at 24. That's ahead of Ramondre Stevenson, T. Higgins, Devontae Smith, Mark Andrews. Do you like that? Does that make sense? Should they be second round picks?
They should be second round picks. I think I'm the reason that we have three in the top 24. I have Mahomes at 19, Allen at 20, and Hurts at 21. So I'm probably the one pushing them up into round two. And I think it's like what we're going to find out this year, because I don't really have questions about those three. I think those three are going to be somewhere between 25 and 30 fantasy points per game. And that's really, really valuable. But how valuable it is going to be determined by what we get from Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields. I do think there's a case to be made that we're going to do this thing that the last 2 years tells us we should do in elevating the quarterbacks. And then this is going to be another year like, what was it, Chris, 2020? Mm-hmm. When we had like 9 quarterbacks that averaged 25 fantasy points per game, and that 25 to 30 point production wasn't as valuable. But right now, looking at the last 3 years, we've got a couple of guys who look almost certain to do it, and quarterback has trended the bad the last 2 years. So it makes a lot of sense.
And I think there are reasons to think that 2020 was sort of a turning point in a lot of the ways that the NFL plays defense. Like we've talked mm-hmm. a lot the last couple of years about like every team is playing too high shells. And you know, I think one of the things that I think is really interesting is it sort of seems like defenses are playing their game now, right? Like a lot of the time defenses aren't like game planning for the specific offense. They're just, we're going to play our too high shell. You figure out a way to beat that defense. And so what you've seen the last couple of years is like, the Bears and Falcons reacting to that by saying, okay, we're just going to run the ball down your throat and see if you can stop us. And so it's created a little more diversity in the way NFL offenses operate. And I think that could continue to perpetuate this haves and have nots thing at quarterback. What we saw last year, number three quarterback and the number six quarterback were separated by 6.2 points per game. That is a massive, massive mark. It was basically the big three, and Joe Burrow was at 26.3 points per game. The other three were at 28 or better. And then Lamar Jackson was the only guy above 22 points per game. And he missed, what, the last five or six games of the season. So it was a massive, massive edge to have one of those three quarterbacks. And I think those three guys are worth a second round pick. I think the bigger question at the position is whether what happened in a recent mock draft where we had seven quarterbacks go in the first 45 picks, whether I don't think we're overrating Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts. I think the question is whether there's inflation for that next tier. I think those three guys are absolutely worth second round picks. I've been banging that drum for a couple of years. I think the question is whether we're in turn overrating Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and Justin Fields and the rest of those guys who are getting their prices pushed up.
Yeah, last year we also saw Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford just have terrible fantasy seasons.
And Justin Herbert.
And yeah. Justin Herbert. But I mean, but those guys are older, and maybe just for Brady, I think Brady especially, his best days are behind him. But the other guys, you know, they may have just aged out in the position. And we also saw Deshaun Watson come back and be bad. But if he gets back to what he is, it could be, I think quarterback could be deeper this year. That doesn't mean those guys aren't worth a second round pick. Chris, you mentioned all the players who were averaging, the quarterbacks who averaged 22 points per game. You mentioned just Lamar Jackson after those big four. You forgot about Davis Webb. Davis Webb did that.
Oh my bad. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah. Apologize to the web heads out there. I know that's it's a big constituency, and I don't want to, you know, drive our Apple review ratings down because of that.
Second question here. Chris, I'll give this one to you first. Is it weird, as we look at our consensus rankings, two players we're going to talk about today between picks 13 and 24, is it weird that RB3 and RB4 from last year are second round picks according to our consensus rankings this year? That would be Josh Jacobs and Derrick Henry. They were RBs 3 and 4 both per game and full season. Derrick Henry's been a top four running back in every format per game, four straight seasons. And he and Josh Jacobs, Chris, are not in the top 12 of our consensus rankings. Is that weird?
I'm personally a little uncomfortable by the fact that I seem to be higher on Derrick Henry than the consensus for the first time ever. His consensus rank right now is 20th. And I've been the guy arguing he's not worth the first round pick the last couple of years, or the top five pick, I guess. And I have him 15th. So, yeah, I think both Josh Jacobs and Derrick Henry are a little underrated by this. I think I understand the arguments against them, but, like, I don't know. Henry may break
down. They're after you, Chris.
What's that?
They're after you.
Yeah.
The Derrick Henry police, they're coming.
I guess the argument is we expect both of these offenses to be worse than they were last year, right?
No.
And I think that makes sense for Vegas. I don't, the Titans,
they won't be worse. The Titans won't be worse. Right, I don't think they'd be worse. Heath, what's the argument here? Why are these guys second? They're not. I know you have Jacobs in your first round, I think 7th overall. So what's the argument? Why are in the consensus rankings in ADP, Josh Jacobs and Derrick Henry being so dissed?
I do think that, like, what Chris said about the Vegas offense being worse this year and that being the expectation does seem to be the expectation for some people. And I would agree with it if Jimmy Garoppolo is unavailable and the Raiders don't add another quarterback. But I don't think that there's a big difference. I think the Derrick Henry one makes perfect sense. He's 29 years old. We start getting worried about running backs at 27 or 28. He's had 4 million carries. He could absolutely make us look dumb again, and that would not be that surprising, but it's time for him to not be as good. The Josh Jacobs one just makes absolutely no sense to me at all. He's my number one running back in non-PPR.
It's not like he had, 18 touchdowns last season. Jacobs? It's not like you could look at it and say, well, that offense is going to be so much worse. He had 12 touchdowns on nearly 400 touches. There's not touchdown regression coming. If he gets a similar role, I don't see any reason he can't score double-digit touchdowns again. He had none in the passing game on 53 catches. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is especially less likely to throw the ball to him than
I would say more likely
Derek Carr. Do we really think Zamir White's going to push the guy who led all running backs in the percentage of their team's touches? He probably won't have 80% of their team RB touches like he did last year, but it's probably not going to go down significantly.
He's the only workhorse running back other than Jonathan Taylor, who's under 27.
Yeah.
Maybe, I guess Saquon you could put on there, but somebody had a really good point. And of course I retweeted it because I'm the Josh Jacobs guy, but in Dynasty, Saquon Barkley is a top five running back in consensus rankings. Josh Jacobs is 10th. Jacobs is a year younger than Barkley and has been better 3 years in a row.
Yeah, that one I don't really like. I do have Barkley one spot ahead of Jacobs, but I don't think there's a gap there.
I don't feel any confidence at all that the Giants offense is going to be better than the Raiders offense this year.
If Garoppolo is not healthy, then I do think they will be.
If Garoppolo is not healthy, then Carson Wentz will start. And
he's terrible.
Well, so
no. Carson Wentz is not the answer.
We're not going to derail the podcast nine minutes in with a Daniel Jones debate.
Ding. Yeah, you're right. This is all just you taking a shot at Daniel Jones, which I'm not.
No, it's not at all. I just think they're both mediocre offenses.
Either way, I think one factor that's underrated here is the offense Josh Jacobs plays in, the Josh McDaniels offense. For the entire time he was in New England, basically every single year, that New England Patriots team was generating top five RB PPR point totals for all. Now that was usually spread between three running backs, and so you very rarely had a top 12 guy, but we saw last season Josh Jacobs is perfectly capable of being a three down back and being effective at it, and there's no competition for touches there. I think he's a very, very safe round one pick with, you know, top five upside.
Okay. The argument against him is that he had never finished higher than 10th per game in any format before last season. So I think people are concerned that it was a huge outlier year. And they might be concerned that he's not going to play for the Raiders and that he might not play at all or something like that.
Well, you can't do that with him and not Barkley.
Except that the reports are more, at least in terms of him not playing for the Raiders. You know, they could rescind his franchise tag, which would be fine for him. Then he'd just be.
I did not see that. I heard it from you, but I did not see that.
No, I saw it. I believe you.
I'm just saying I didn't see that.
And signed Dalvin Cook or whatever. But, you know, he seems more likely. I don't think either of them are. I'm not approaching it. We just did a draft last week. I don't think any of us approached it like they're not going to be on the Giants and Raiders, respectively. But it seems maybe people are more panicked about Jacobs than they are Barkley from that perspective. Let's do some news and notes. Before we do that, our eBay store for Draftathon, which, you know, the Draftathon, if you're a loyal listener, which most of you are, you know what it is. It's our 4-hour, well, actually, no, it's like a 6-hour live show at the end of August. But really, you should think of Draftathon as the next few months of charity, raising money for St. Jude with a whole bunch of different awesome things. You've got pre-draft calls with our experts. You've got spots in leagues. You know, we made it over $21,000 with the spot in the Dynasty Startup League. So that was amazing. But it's all CBS personalities as well. You'll see. Go to the store. So we've got this URL. Maybe we can put it in the chat, Thomas. tinyurl.com/FFTdonate. tinyurl.com/FFTdonate. I think we'll have a different link to that at some point. But we do have sort of an eBay storefront now, where you can see all of the things that are up for auction. It all goes to St. Jude, and it's June 22nd. Just imagine what we're going to be auctioning off in June, July, and August. And I can't wait to raise so much money this year. And yeah, thank you for being a part of it in advance. tinyurl.com/FFTdonate. That's the first way to get there right now. Okay. News and notes. The person that Tyreek Hill slapped pressing charges. Keep an eye on this story. Raiders defensive end Max Crosby said he wouldn't be surprised if Tom Brady shows up in a Raiders jersey. And he was saying that if things don't go as planned with Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, he got these health issues with Garoppolo. So if he's injured, maybe, according to Max Crosby's on the team, maybe Tom Brady shows up. Adam Schefter thinks that Sam Darnold has the edge over Trey Lance going into 49ers camp. But Heath, does that just mean that we should not have hope for Trey Lance?
Well,
fantasy?
No, because if Trey Lance ever does get a chance, he's probably going to be valuable for fantasy, even if he's not good at passing. But I think it does mean that I can declare victory in the Jalen Hurts versus Trey Lance battle of 2020. That's it. No. Oh, you got it? You plan to play it?
What were you? I was just going to play this. I just
No, it's like. it's just one of those things where we didn't know. I'm not saying he's bad. We didn't know anything about him when the 49ers drafted him, and through a variety of weird things, we still don't know anything about him. And the only team that has any reason to think they know something about him is the 49ers. And it sounds like they prefer Mr. Irrelevant and Sam Darnold.
Yeah, if I could do a cross sport analogy, one thing that we've noticed in baseball, and this has been studied, is when a top prospect gets traded, they perform worse than the top prospects who are ranked in their same range. This has been, and it makes sense, right? The team that knows them best is the team that's seen them the most. And 49ers are the only people who have seen Trey Lance do anything on a football field over the last three seasons. And they seem to not like him very much. And we don't know why. It's kind of been kept under wraps. We've gotten a few reports about inaccuracy in camp, but for the most part, we're in the blind. But our assumption should be that Trey Lance is pretty terrible at this point, unfortunately.
And if I do a cross-positional reference, I have great fear that a year from now we are talking about Jamison Williams in the same way.
Oh, that would be bad.
Yeah, Lance.
Just because he's not playing. You have to play.
Yeah, you have to play. Lance, of course, he had the broken finger, really affected him badly. Then the broken ankle or leg.
Ankle,
yeah. Yeah, so, but the finger was a huge deal, and he's finally getting back to throwing the ball the way he used to. But that, if he's still behind
the Arnold, other thing. Mm-hmm. Is we are entirely dependent throughout these, is it 3 years now? 2.5 years of Trey Lance on things that get leaked out by the 49ers or Trey Lance's agent. We've not seen anything. We don't know how good he is at throwing a ball right now at all. Yeah. We didn't know when he came into the NFL. Nobody saw him play in college.
Yep. All right.
He is going to tight end you, so that's good.
I would really like to see Sam Darnold as the quarterback for the 49ers. I feel like it would be a really fun experiment. I think it would be
by far the best season of his career.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Andy Reid said that second-year receiver Sky Moore is taking a good jump. All right.
The sky's the limit.
Very good. We need more of that, Heath. We'll take a break. All right. We'll take a break when we come back. PPR 13 through 24. We'll go through it. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flake.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
All right, let's look at who the second rounders are in our consensus rankings. Obviously, if you just looked at Heath's rankings, some of these guys will be higher or lower, like Josh Jacobs is much higher. Tony Pollard is 13th in our consensus rankings. He was actually the number 9 running back per game last year, with only 193 carries and 39 catches in 16 games. Tony Pollard, Josh Jacobs are 13 and 14. Is there any question in your mind that you're taking Jacobs over Pollard?
Not for me.
Not for me, no.
If the Raiders came out and said that we're starting Brian Hoyer week one, then it would become a question for me.
Okay. But like the touchdown regression question is on Pollard's side.
For sure.
You know, because he had a lot of long touchdowns, and obviously we think he'll get more of a goal line role, but we don't know that for sure. I'm not 100% sure how much his role is going to change. I would assume it'll change a little bit, potentially a lot, but I feel much more confident in Josh Jacobs. Give me Josh Jacobs minus 50 touches, and I think I'd take him over Pollard.
I think if they both play 17 games, there's a very good chance that Jacobs has 100 more touches.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Pollard. I did take him over Jacobs. Look, I can't have you guys just agreeing the whole time. You know, I mean, we got to shake it up a little bit, right? So I'll take the Pollard side. Maybe we can do a YouTube poll, Thomas. ADP has them pretty similar. Like I said yesterday, I don't know what to make of ADP at this point. It's very different depending on where you go. And, you know, Pollard, Jacobs, Derrick Henry, and NFC ADP were all going around the 2-3 turn. So that would be amazing. But if we're talking about the 1-2 turn here, I took Pollard, I think, 11th or 10th or 11th in a draft. I was hoping for Barkley. He went one pick before me. I do think there's a, you know, probably maybe a big difference. But I just love Pollard. I just think he's a terrific player. I think we all probably feel that way. My question is, you know, can he handle a big workload?
Right.
He may have worn down a little bit toward the end of last season. His efficiency went way down.
He broke his leg.
He did do that.
Broke. Could not handle it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of guys get injured. And
when I say that, it's tongue-in-cheek, kind of, because I do think there are 100% football coaches and football guys who would say that without being tongue-in-cheek or without smiling or without laughing. Like, I think there's a big question mark when a guy comes into the NFL as, like, the most part-time of part-time backs in college and then spends his career as a significant backup. Like, it wasn't a 1A, 1B situation really until last year.
Yeah.
And then has a career high in touches and suffers a major injury.
Yeah. Yes, it's true. And even his own running backs coach last year said they wanted to keep him to like 30 touches, or 30 snaps.
30
a game,
snaps. 30 snaps. But then I think the next game he played like 55 snaps.
I know. He's just so good. You can't keep him off the field. And Dallas is so high scoring. I just think there's going to be a lot of touchdown opportunities for him.
That's one thing is I do think this Dallas offense is going to take a step back next season. It might not be like less efficient, but the switch from Mike McCarthy to Kellen Moore, I think, is going to see a drop in volume, potentially a significant one.
Yes, the big.
The Kellen Moore era Dallas Cowboys were top three in neutral context pace or whatever the term would be. And Mike McCarthy's final three seasons with the Packers, when he was calling plays, they were bottom 12 every season. So I think this offense may still be very good, but in terms of the amount of points they score and the amount of plays they run, I think it's going to take a step back.
Right, but can you tell me five offenses that you're very confident are going to be higher scoring than Dallas? I mean, they're still going to be one of the best offenses.
I think that's a real question. Like, there's a legitimate quote from Mike McCarthy saying that Kellen Moore thought the only job of the offense was to score points.
Yeah,
and he believes the job of the offense is to let the defense rest.
Yep.
Like, he wants.
Well, how do you do that?
What?
How do you do that?
Long drives, don't gain too many yards in one play.
And run the ball.
Right. He's not going to. Okay, listen. He is not going to have 20 carries a game. If they're going to run the ball 35 times a game, then Dalvin Cook or Ezekiel Elliott or someone else is going to average 3.8 yards per carry and get yelled at for being in Tony Pollard's way. Because Tony Pollard's not going to do that.
No.
If he doesn't. Right? So it's a bad thing if they're going to replace some of Tony Pollard's targets with rush attempts.
Why do they have to replace his targets with rush attempts? Why wouldn't he just get more rush attempts and also get targets?
Because
he's the lead running back for the Cowboys. He's going to get his touches. They need to give him the ball.
I do not believe he's ever going to approach the touches that Ezekiel Elliott received as the lead running back for the Dallas Cowboys.
Completely agree with that. I just don't think that he needs to.
I think another part that's just kind of to simplify it, is just Josh Jacobs was a lot better than Tony Pollard last season.
Pollard needs
to take a step forward to be as good as Jacobs was last season. And Jacobs needs to take a step back in order to justify taking Pollard over Jacobs. And both of those things may be reasonable assumptions, but it's not reasonable enough for me to assume it. I'm going to give Jacobs the benefit of the doubt here. Cause like, those not very good Josh Jacobs seasons from pre-2023 look a lot like what Tony Pollard did last season. It's right around 15.5 PPR points per game.
Yeah, but Pollard was the second back on the team. They don't have Zeke anymore. And there's no way Pollard's not going to lead the team in carries this year.
What? Oh, I definitely think there is a way.
How? Why would they franchise tag a guy if he's not going to lead the team in carries? It's a horrible decision.
I don't think the Cowboys are at the cutting edge of RB valuations.
Give me the scenario where he doesn't lead the team in carries.
They signed Dalvin Cook for $5 million and they just let Dalvin Cook run the ball into the offensive line 240 times and Tony Pollard gets 230 carries.
Yeah. So Cook, that is the only one. If they bring Zeke back, there's no way Zeke's going to out carry Pollard. That would be insane. Like Cook would be the only one unless Mixon becomes available or something like that.
So
but
I think this is good
probably going on a little bit too long. So just, you can wrap it up, Heath.
What do you think Tony Pollard's like carries per game ups or even touch per game? But I think we should carries what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like he'd never averaged double digit carries at any level before last year. And he averaged 12 carries per game last year. Are you thinking that he could have more than like 15?
No. I think 15 and 3.5 catches, you know?
I think that's possible. I think that's a reasonable upside expectation.
18 to 19 touches per game for Pollard to me at 5 yards per carry, which he's done.
Should not expect him to average five yards per carry if he's going to have a 30% increase in touches.
I do expect it because I think he's one of the best running backs. I think he's behind one of the best offensive lines. If I'm going to expect someone to do it, it's going to be, he's going to be on the short list. I think he's going to be extremely efficient. He's explosive. He's terrific. And I think as long as Zeke would be a problem because I think Zeke would have the goal line role. But if I'm not too concerned about the goal line role, I think Pollard's headed for a huge season.
Part of the problem there, though, is that still might be 80 fewer carries than Josh Jacobs.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. It's also an upside downside thing. I would say, you know, I think
I love seems this. Like I was waiting for this.
It seems like the community thinks that Jacobs has more downside.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Pollard has more upside. That's disappointing.
No, I don't think Pollard has more upside.
Okay, darn it.
All right. Next up, we have Davante Adams, who has now. Okay, let's see. Davante Adams has been a top five wide receiver in 3 of his last 4 seasons. Top 3 in PPR in 3 straight seasons. That's overall. So he's not even a first round pick. Is that justified on Davante Adams? And then we have Amon-Ra St. Brown and AJ Brown as our next 3 picks. So after those 2 running backs, we've got 3 wide receivers: Davante Adams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and AJ Brown. What do you think about that, Heath? Do you think those guys should be going before Tony Pollard?
So I've got it right now, Adams, then Pollard, and Amon-Ra is after. And you say AJ Brown was in there too?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've Adams is the only one of that group that I had to have ahead of Pollard. They are all ranked between 13 and 18 for me, so that's the perfect range. And I do think that there's a chance that we're going to look too low on Adams again, but like he's old enough to where you can worry about the age. He's not, doesn't sound like very happy right now. And his quarterback's a major injury risk. He is probably quarterback proof still, but man, Brian Hoyer or Aiden O'Connell, I do think are probably worse than Jarrett Stidham.
The thing that I think is probably being overrated is if Jimmy Garoppolo stays healthy. If Jimmy Garoppolo stays healthy, I really don't have any concerns about Davante Adams because, like, yes, Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't throw the ball as deep as Derek Carr did last season. It is interesting that, like, Derek Carr is now a gunslinger because he played with Davante Adams and chucked the ball down the field a ton. But, like, maybe that's just what happens when you play with Davante Adams. But either way, Davante Adams is going to get 30% of the targets. As long as he's healthy, like, that's just what Davante Adams does. Maybe they're not as far down the field as they were last season. That might not be a bad thing because his catch rate dropped to 55.6%, the lowest since 2015. But like, wide receivers earn targets.
Should he be higher than 15th in the consensus rankings, Davante Adams?
I think that's a perfectly fine spot for him, taking into account the risk of Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think there's a very good chance that we end up looking pretty dumb about that.
I've got him 13th, so yes, he should be higher. Too low.
Okay. What about Amon-Ra St. Brown and AJ Brown? Who do you guys like? This is PPR, so you know you could maybe expect 20 more catches for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Who do you like better? Which Brown? St. Brown ARSB. Or regular Brown? ARSB for Heath. Yeah. Chris?
I've got AJ Brown just ahead. I do have AJ Brown projected for 18 fewer catches, but he makes up for that. And myriad other ways, but they're back to back for me.
Heath, why St. Brown?
They are also back to back for me. So I wouldn't, I think this is one where if I wasn't doing projections, AJ Brown would be ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Cause I do think AJ Brown talent wise is like just on a different level. But especially in full PPR, like I'd take AJ Brown in half PPR and non PPR. The catch difference is too big for me in full PPR.
And do you think we are still talking about? I mean, it's really hard. I cannot sit here and say that Devontae Adams doesn't have first round upside or, you know, even top five player upside, right? Do you think? Obviously, we must think Jacobs does. I think Pollard does. Do you think A.J. Brown and Amon-Ra St. Brown have that kind of upside where they could be top five, top six-ish overall players? I don't mean like where they should be drafted. I don't mean like total points because obviously the quarterbacks. But Brown and St. Brown, do they have that type of upside?
I think A.J. does, and it's weird, but I think it's probably injury-dependent. Devontae Smith's a pretty small dude. If something happened to him and Jalen Hurts didn't have that other option, then I think it's possible we could see A.J. Brown at 12 targets per game or something and 11 targets per game, and I think he would be a top five wide receiver, then probably the number one wide receiver.
Okay, Chris, let's move on to our next topic. It's Nick Chubb. He's right behind Devontae Adams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and A.J. Brown. So the first five picks, the first five in the rankings, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 are Pollard, Jacobs, Adams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, AJ Brown. Then we have Nick Chubb, who is not going really to be splitting with Kareem Hunt, obviously, and maybe going to have the biggest, you know, share of carries that we've seen from him. So he is 18th. Do you think he should go ahead of anyone we've mentioned so far? Pollard, Jacobs, Adams, St. Brown, AJ Brown?
I don't think so. He had, 302 carries last season and 37 targets. I mean, he could do better than that, but I think it's not particularly likely. He's always been hyper efficient. Last season, he averaged 5 yards per carry on 302 carries. He's an incredible player. This is, I think, the sort of like boring pick that you can make in the second round. It's very, very unlikely that you end up disappointed in Nick Chubb. It's also very, very unlikely that he scores 20 points per game, I think.
I don't know. I do have Chubb ahead of Brown and St. Brown, but right in this range, and I wouldn't argue strongly. I think the one place where Chubb might have more upside than what we've seen, because I agree with Chris, I think the usage is very similar. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that if Deshaun Watson is good, Nick Chubb has a 20 touchdown
season. Right.
Sure. That's the upside case.
He's got a 300, got great running backs like him who get 350 touches do have those types of seasons.
That's fair.
Right. And why is Kareem Hunt in at the goal line here? And that happened too much over the last few years. But Deshaun Watson's also someone who could take away some rushing touchdowns. Maybe, I don't know. I don't feel like his catch.
He's not going to throw. I mean, actually, he threw a lot to the running backs last season, which was weird. I think like over 20% of Deshaun Watson's targets went to running backs last year, which was probably also just a reflection of how uncomfortable he was after not playing for nearly two seasons. So, you know, that's a confounding variable where, like, I guess Deshaun Watson could throw to his running backs more, and Nick Chubb is the only guy who would benefit from that right now. But I'm not really taking that possibility too seriously.
Let me just tell you where Chubb has finished per game in PPR over the last four seasons. Eighth. I'll go from 2019 to 2022. 10th, 8th, 12th, 8th. So he's been 8 to 12 per game, four straight seasons in PPR. In half PPR, he's been 9th, 5th, 10th, and 8th. In non-PPR, 8th, 5th, 7th, and 6th. 8th, 5th, 7th, and 5th per game. And I screwed up half PPR. Half PPR was 9th, 5th, 10th, and 6th. So from 8 to 12 in PPR, from 5 to 10 in half PPR, and 5 to 8 per game in non-PPR. That's Nick Chubb over the last four seasons. Extremely consistent. Never been on a great offense, though. It hasn't happened. Maybe, like Heath said, maybe that'll unlock some touchdown potential. Chubb or Pollard for you guys?
Pollard.
I've got Pollard, but they're back-to-back.
Okay. Any concerns with Chubb? I mean, is he... I called two players yesterday bust-proof, which, of course, you know, this is a kiss of death. Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs, bust-proof.
What?
Not the only ones necessarily.
Why is Jamar Chase not bust-proof?
I just didn't put.
Oh, okay.
I actually, if you want to know what I think that since Chase is the second pick in drafts and Diggs is closer to 12, I think that they could have basically the same season and Chase would be considered a bust and Diggs wouldn't. And you know, Chase has Higgins to contend with, but anyway, is Chubb bust-proof? Or because there was a little slippage last year. He had a pretty bad, maybe like 6-game stretch, or it was what's wrong with Nick Chubb. Is he bust proof to you guys? Or because he's going to be 28 in December.
He's a 28-year-old running back. So he relies on outlier efficiency and big plays for the majority of his, you know, fantasy production. So any slippage, it's kind of the same case as Derrick Henry. I get Derrick Henry's a year older, and so that's probably why Derrick Henry's going below him, but it's sort of, I don't really get the case for Nick Chubb over Derrick Henry. For me, it's Nick Chubb's kind of a worse Derrick Henry who's a little bit younger, but I don't know if that's enough. That should be enough to make up for it.
Isn't it closer to 2 years than 1 year in age difference?
Yeah, like, this is his age 27 season. He'll turn 28 okay.
That's
at
fair.
The end of the
that's
year.
Fair. It is closer to 2 years.
And I do think with Henry that we are seeing some slippage. You know, the metrics aren't as good. They haven't been as good for each of the last two seasons, whereas Chubb still looks like he's still clearly one of the best running backs in football.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people feel that way about Derrick Henry, that maybe we're seeing the decline. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the back half of the second round after this.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
So far we've had three running backs and three receivers at 13 through 18. Tony Pollard, Josh Jacobs, Devontae Adams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, A.J. Brown, and Nick Chubb. So who is after Nick Chubb? Who is 19? It is Garrett Wilson, and then Derrick Henry, and then Jalen Waddle. We'll talk about those three. The last three picks are the quarterbacks, Mahomes, Allen, and Hurts. I keep saying picks. I'm sorry. This is not ADP. This is rankings. The last three players, 22 through 24, are the quarterbacks. But 19 through 21, Garrett Wilson, Derrick Henry, and Jalen Waddle. Heath, your take on that trio, Wilson, Henry, Waddle.
Love it. Massive, massive upside from all three of them. And, like, there's risk for Henry, and we haven't seen Wilson do it yet. But I'm all aboard these guys in this range. I think Waddle is the one that I don't have in the first two rounds. But if Tua stays healthy, that will look dumb.
Chris, your take on Wilson, Henry, and Waddle?
I think they're all fine there. I think I have them all ranked a little bit lower. Like, Waddle's a wide receiver 14 for me, so he's a little lower than this. But I get it. I have CeeDee Lamb ahead of Garrett Wilson. We haven't mentioned him, right?
No, because he was picked 12. He was 12th in the rankings.
Then that makes sense. Okay, then I don't really have any kind of complaints about that. Wilson, it's a bit of a dream. You know, we're hoping he can take that step forward, but It's a very reasonable dream. Does knowing that Aaron Rodgers went to a psychedelia conference and was one of their keynote speakers, does that make you feel more or less confident in Garrett Wilson's chances?
More. 100% more.
Yeah. For sure. Oh, definitely more.
Because he's going to
see the field so much better this year.
He drew a clear line between when he started taking ayahuasca and when he started winning MVPs.
Yeah.
I guess he forgot maybe he wasn't taking ayahuasca last year.
Well, yeah, he may have just had a bad trip.
there's not really, for a player as young and as aggressively ranked as Garrett Wilson is, I feel like there's really not much to say. Like, as long as he's the number one wide receiver in this offense, the way he looked like he would be, the way he looked like he should be based on his rookie season, he's probably going to be really, really good.
And I know I probably shouldn't care this much about this, but the fact that Aaron Rodgers is talking about how he could be the best wide receiver in the NFL, and the little blurbs about him and Devontae Adams both wearing 17 and the similarities. Like, my only concern for Garrett Wilson was that Aaron Rodgers is a weird dude and he might get there and decide that Garrett Wilson's not the best wide receiver on the team. Seems like Rodgers already knows that Wilson's the best wide receiver on the team.
I mean, this is the most positive Aaron Rodgers has talked about a wide receiver since Jake Junis.
He didn't ever talk
maybe
about
Jake Sternberger. Like,
he didn't talk about those guys like this at all.
Yeah, he didn't. He never said that those guys could be the best wide receiver in football. At least not.
It's
out,
just
not
called,
out
it's
loud.
Called a joke, guys.
I know, but he is really pumping up Garrett Wilson. Do you guys like Wilson or Waddle better?
Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson.
Yeah, one number on Waddle, and it's so hard to know. I mean, his A dot so different, his catch rate so different. Just his catches in two seasons. He had 104 catches as a rookie. He had 75 catches as a sophomore. But in the 12 games that Tua Tagovailoa started and finished, Jalen Waddle was on pace for only 79 catches. But 1,514 yards, 11 touchdowns on only 125 targets. So, you know, he's just incredible. I don't really know what I think. I'd take Wilson over Waddle too because I expect more targets. That's pretty much the only justification I can have. I can't say he's a better player than Jalen Waddle.
If you put them in the same situation, I think they could be very similar in terms of their talent. I've seen enough from Jalen Waddle where I would feel more confident in him being that kind of producer than I would Garrett Wilson. And that's not to say Garrett Wilson can't be better, but
right.
I love seeing what Jalen Waddle has done. It reminds me of Stephon Diggs back in Minneapolis or Minnesota, where he filled so many different roles and excelled at them no matter what they asked him to do. He was a possession receiver who caught 100 passes one year. He was purely a deep threat one season. And that to me says that Jalen Waddle's a legitimate number one alpha type wide receiver. It's just he plays with Tyreek Hill. So I think that 12 game sample with Tua Tagovailoa when he finished all his games, I think he averaged 17 points per game, which is really, really good.
Yep, that's great.
That feels like the ceiling in this role, unfortunately.
Yeah, could be. Derrick Henry, guys, is there anything that makes him a bust in round two other than injury?
No.
No, just because he's going to get so much volume right. That it feels like 1,500 rushing yards is kind of guaranteed, which is wild.
Even if he's 4 yards per carry, it has like the end of the, you know, basically like the last good season of his career. Because he was what, like 4.4 last year. He's just going to get so many carries and touchdowns. He had 13 touchdowns last year. He also had 33 catches last year.
That's the key is that the all purpose or yards from scrimmage, this was the second best season.
Right. Oh, I never gave this stat. I wanted to give this stat. Nick Chubb has averaged, I did look at his last four seasons and I removed two games where he played fewer than 25% of the snaps. Doing that, he's averaged something like 103 or more total yards per game every year, Nick Chubb. So just keep that in mind, that his floor has been double-digit fantasy points without any catches, without any touchdowns. That's kind of crazy.
I mean, the only thing with Nick Chubb is just when you're projecting his range of outcomes for every game, it's like he's definitely going to get 12 points or 10 points, whatever you want to put it at. And then it's just, does he get to 20 if he scores a touchdown? And there are other running backs who you can say have paths to 20 plus PPR points in a game without needing multiple touchdowns. Nick Chubb probably needs at least one touchdown and often multiple touchdowns to get to 20 plus PPR points. So that's the only thing, is he's just more touchdown dependent than most running backs in this range. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, it's a more limited path to elite upside.
All right, we finish out our top 24 with 22, 23, and 24, and those are Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts. Heath, did we get the order right?
I don't know. I know we got number one right. I have gone back and forth between Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts all offseason. I currently have Allen higher. I would not bet on who I'm going to have ranked higher a month from now. I think there's reasons to think either of them could challenge Mahomes. There's no reason to think either of them should be expected to be better than Mahomes.
Dave, you know, we did an episode, Bust Proof. Dave said Hurts is the most bust proof because he has the more rushing upside than Mahomes and more weapons. If you took one away due to injury, he'd still be better.
Yeah, I don't know what Patrick Mahomes would do if you took away one of his best.
Well, what if he took away Kelsey? We've never seen it. What if he didn't have Kelsey?
I would guess that he would be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and fantasy.
Okay, look, I think it's a fair argument, but I can see, you know, I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah, Heath said there's no case for Allen ahead of Mahomes.
Right, that's silly.
Allen has been better than Mahomes two of the last three seasons, and last year the gap was 0.2 points. Like, their aggregate points over the past three seasons per game, Allen is probably a point per game ahead.
Yeah, come on,
maybe
Heath.
More.
Come on, Heath.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to double check those numbers on that. I know going into last year, Allen had been the best quarterback 2 years in a row, and Mahomes had been the best quarterback for the past 3 years average. But maybe that's not the case anymore. I mean, I am more concerned about Josh Allen going backwards than I am Mahomes or Hurts. I think there's more risk with Josh Allen than there is with Mahomes or with Hurts.
Yeah, but
we don't think Stephon Diggs thing.
What? It's a Stephon Diggs thing. I think when rushing quarterbacks, yes, even Cam Newton, start having injuries that affect them, so far historically, that just continues to happen.
If it's an arm injury?
I don't know that it matters what type of injury it is. You can only take so many hits like he takes, and he's not shown any willingness to stop taking them.
Okay.
He laughs about it. He likes it. And I think that's wildly dangerous for a quarterback.
Yeah.
And if he does start protecting himself, I'm just talking for a long time to give Chris a chance to prove me wrong, because I think he's looking numbers up.
It's only like 0.5 points per game over the past three seasons, but it is Allen's edge.
If he does stop running like they're talking about, if Damian Harris is the goal line back instead of Josh Allen, then I don't think that Allen's even in the conversation.
All right. But obviously you do think that he is in the conversation, and these three are
for
all
sure. He's second right now for me.
Right. Okay. Should Mark Andrews go ahead of these quarterbacks?
No,
I don't think so. No.
Okay. Is there anyone that we did not say that in this show or yesterday's show, the top 12, anyone who's outside the top 24 of the consensus rankings that you think should be ahead of Allen, Mahomes, Hurts?
There are certainly guys I can make a case for, right? Like, if we get to training camp day one and Breece Hall is cleared to play, I will probably move him into that range. I'm really, really worried about how to rank Ramondre Stevenson, which is to say that I'm really worried I'm ranking him both too high and too low, because my gut is to rank him almost as a first round pick. I think, like, if he's back in that role where he's going to get 55, 65 catches, I think he's probably going to be a first rounder, because that offense is going to be a lot better than it was last season, just by the fact that they have an offensive coordinator, let alone one who I think we all think is a pretty good one in Bill O'Brien. So It's just we don't really know what the role is going to be. But if Ramondre Stevenson's role is close to what it was for most of last season, I think he's probably going to end up being a borderline first rounder.
I think the guy who I would not rank ahead of these guys yet, but I definitely could see ranking ahead of these guys soon, is Joe Mixon. Because we did this thing where we downgraded Joe Mixon to like round seven or something because he had some off the field troubles again, and the Bengals were talking really like they don't like him at all, treating him like Malcolm Brogdon basically. And then we're
Malcolm Brogdon is a basketball player.
Yeah, we're going to get to July 1st or the first day of training camp, and somebody is going to look at the Bengals depth chart and say, "Huh, Joe Mixon's still there, and Samaje Perine's not." Why wouldn't Joe Mixon be a top 20 pick?
If we were going by my projections, Joe Mixon would be a borderline first rounder for me. That role is just the starting running back for the Bengals last season. I think it was 255 carries and 89 targets or something. It was just, but that just take the games that Mixon played plus the two that Samaje Perine started. And that's just a hugely valuable role in an elite offense. And it's probably a case where we're overthinking it.
I do think it's reasonable to wait to move him up to that. I'm going to make him show up to training camp, and the Bengals let him show up to training camp before I make that move. But if we get to the first day of training camp, then he should definitely be top 20.
Yeah, if you're wondering, like, who is this year's Josh Jacobs? Probably nobody, but maybe Joe Mixon.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, thank you to Heath and Chris. Great stuff. We've got backfield battles and some fantasy Jeopardy tomorrow, and hopefully time for some emails. I think we should be able to squeeze some of those in there. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. If you did not see Beyond the Box Score, you can see it on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday, but you will hear it on Saturday. We'll be publishing then. So have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.